Hey everyone, this is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to continue our exploration of Jupiter's conjunction with Neptune. So I got a lot of great feedback from all of you yesterday as we opened up with a talk that you could also check out if you wanted to, if you missed it yesterday. I feel like we're going to continue opening up certain dimensions of this transit little by little. I think next week we're going to devote a good amount of time to this as well, including some live casts. So really excited to be talking about what I feel is a deeply uplifting astrological configuration. It certainly has been that way for me in the ways that I've related to these transits in my own life. So we're going to explore. Today we are going to talk about signs. We're going to talk about the signs that you get that make you feel like you're in a good place, that the universe is trustworthy, that you're on the right path. We're going to talk about the importance of noticing signs in our life. Jupiter, Neptune, among many other things, is often, we talked about it yesterday in terms of its association with the theme of redemption. But closely associated to redemption is the feeling of faith, hope, and trust. And often enough, you will hear people talking about pay attention to your dreams, you know, with Jupiter, Neptune. Pay attention to signs and omens, little intuitions. I think more broadly speaking, what I want to talk about today is why is it that signs are so important? Why does the universe speak in signs? And why occasionally do we need something like a Jupiter, Neptune conjunction to give us that feeling of affirmation? I'm on the right path. I've received a sign. I've had a dream. I've gotten some kind of confirmation from the universe. I think most of us who digest, you know, regularly take in astrological content into our lives, track transits and so forth, are probably in the habit of watching for signs and thinking that omens and signs are a meaningful part of everyday life. But why? And why is it that time to time we need signs and omens to show up and affirm you're on the right path, things are okay, have faith, trust, you renew our sense of faith and hope in the path that we're on? This is a transit that often does that. And so we're going to talk about that today. We're going to ask the question, you know, why does the universe speak in signs as we're experiencing a transit that is often about the amplification of such signs? So that being said, before we get into it, until Monday, April 11th, I am running a 50% off sale on all of my courses. If you go to my website, nightlightastrology.com, and you click on the courses page, there's four different courses, 4 years worth of curriculum. They're each 1 year programs. Ancient Astrology for the Modern Mystic, the first year program, starts again in early June. You can attend live or participate remotely. Everything's recorded. There's breakout study sessions, lots of tutoring help. There's a lot that comes with the program. So check it out on the website to learn more about it. That would probably be the one to sign up for a lot of you. You can also bundle two programs together and save even more if you take up a second program. So that might be appealing to some of you. If you are already in one of my programs, it might be that year two or the horary program is more appropriate for you. Those also start in June. So you can click on the courses tab here and you can learn all about those classes as well. In the fall, another year one course starts, or readings and passages, which is my advanced reading workshop program. So they're all here to learn more about. And when you click, say, on the first year tab, you scroll down, click on view enrollment details to take you to the bottom, click enroll now, and you'll find that that's the sale price under the early bird payment. And you can add the second one there for even $100 cheaper. So really good deal running it right now because you guys asked for it after the Kickstarter. A lot of you were hoping to take advantage of that really good sale rate that I run during the Kickstarter, but weren't able to. So hopefully this helps a few of you out. Let's get into it with regard to Jupiter's conjunction with Neptune. And by the way, if you have any questions about the courses, info@nightlightastrology.com. So Jupiter is conjunct Neptune in Pisces between March 27th and April 29th, perfecting on April 12th. And you can see that here. There it is. There's Jupiter and Neptune getting together in their conjunction. Ooh, exalted Venus getting into the mix. I think it's a very special month. I feel really super excited about it. And I've been feeling, of course, these two planets right now, Jupiter and Neptune's conjunction at 23 Pisces happens to be trining my natal sun in Cancer. So I'm just really feeling uplifted and inspired. And it came at a good time. For me, I think I told you guys, I took a vacation. During that vacation, I feel like it really showed up in terms of just inspiring me with a lot of the ideas that you're seeing me implement, from a little bit of production value changes to the kinds of content I've been creating, just a little bit more inspired feeling. And that's, you know, Jupiter, Neptune gave me signs. It gave me omens. It gave me things to think about. Things started showing up in my life that, to me, were just an affirmation that, yes, you're heading in the right direction. Yes, here's the kind of creative revisions or, you know, innovation that, you know, you should be doing right now. It's funny how it's always at a time where you start to feel a little lost or unsure, or you're starting to feel like, give me a sign here. I need to know where I'm going or what I'm doing, or if I'm doing what I'm doing is right, or if it's aligned, or, you know, am I totally off base here? And I think that humility and that earnest seeking is always answered, not always in the time or at the time that we hope for, but in time, a sign always shows up. And I've come to trust that very deeply. And I don't interfere. If I put out an SOS, or if I put out a question, or if I knock on the door, I sit back and I wait for the answer and I know it'll come. But I have to also trust that it'll come. It's a bit like, if you ever tried to remember the lyrics to a song, and sorry, I'm not used to having my camera up there. Hi. So my other camera is, I'm trying to fix some things with it right now. I've been dealing with camera stuff lately, if you guys watch my channel. Anyway, now I completely lost my train of thought. This is just perfect. That's just where I've been at lately. Okay. So at any rate, where was I? Let me go to my notes. That'll help me. Yeah. So moving, I'm just going to move along, and whatever I was saying, I'm sure I'll come back to it somehow. So one of the things that, you know, for me is really important is that from time to time, I just sit back and reflect upon what I'm doing and ask for a sign. You know, getting some confirmation that we're on the right path I remember what I was saying. Perfect. That's amazing. Wow, that was such a synchronicity. That's crazy because that was so cool. So, okay. You know when you're trying to remember the lyrics to a song and you can't remember, and then you go, you know what? I'll figure it out. It'll come back to me when it's meant to. And then you, that's what I was going to say. Isn't that incredible? Wow, that's so cool. There's a sign. Wow, that's amazing. So anyway, it's the same thing when it comes to, you know, our faith in the signs that the universe gives us, whether it's through astrology or it's through a person that crossed your path or an animal you see or a dream you have. I feel like when you need a sign, they come. And when you put the request out there, please help. I need some confirmation. I need some insight. And you just sit back and you're like trying to remember the song lyrics. You just go, you know what? It'll come when it comes, but I'll be ready. I'll see it when it comes. It'll come when its time is right, and you just let it go, and then it does. And isn't it amazing that in this talk about that, somehow I would glitch out and demonstrate, the universe would come in here and demonstrate the very concept I was talking about? That's nuts. First of all, that just made my day. But anyway, all right. So these are the kinds of things that Jupiter and Neptune really amplify, the feeling that there is a connection beyond this world, the feeling that you're on a path. I think it was Carlos Castaneda who said that the main thing is that you're on a path with heart. I'm pretty sure that came from the teachings of Don Juan. So we need these confirmations that we're on a path of some kind. And Jupiter Neptune, when it comes in, reminds us of that somehow. Sometimes it's through a person, sometimes it's through I don't know. You know, when I remember when I was in like junior high, it was 11:11 showing up on a clock or something. You know what I mean? Whatever it is, something comes and doesn't matter how absurd it is. You know, you feel it, you know. And Jupiter Neptune tends to deliver big rainbows. You know, the big birds of paradise that show up, the strange, beautiful omens that show up and just say, yeah, yes, what you're doing is okay. You're on the right path. You don't have it all figured out, but here's a hint. You know, here's the next step. Your faith is renewed for now, for the next step. And that's all you needed. You knocked and the door was opened. And that is a very Jupiter Neptune-like experience. So I think this begs the question, why does the universe speak in signs? And I want to tell you a Jupiter Neptune experience that I had that was one of the most life-affirming, path-confirming Jupiter Neptune-like examples of signs and omens that speak and somehow affirm or renew your faith or give you the sense that you are on the right path. I think, and again, you know, I would say most of the time for me, these experiences are every day and more like they're like little. They don't need to be, you know, as big and dramatic as a story that I'm about to share is, but Jupiter Neptune transits, they do tend to, you know, sometimes they show up and they're like, Sunday, you know, huge. Like they show up and they're a little bit more dramatic. They're a little bit more like, whoa, like that was a big like Noah's rainbow type of thing. So anyway, here's the story. If you guys remember, yesterday I actually shared a Jupiter Neptune story that led to a series of like foundational spiritual statements in my life. It was a Jupiter Neptune transit. When Jupiter squared Neptune from Scorpio to Aquarius in the winter of 2006, I was in graduate school for creative writing, and I was writing a book about my ayahuasca experiences. It was a fictionalized account. If you guys watched my episode yesterday, that was the time during which I actually named one of the chapters in my book, God's Bathroom Floor. By the way, I have to say, shout out to everyone who recognized the atmosphere reference. So atmosphere, like a, I don't know if it's just one guy, I believe. And some people who commented know a lot more about him than I did, but I had one song on my iPod when I was in the Amazon that was literally called God's Bathroom Floor. And it was a rap song. And it was also a song, I think sort of about addiction. But at any rate, so that vision that I had that I shared yesterday about God's Bathroom Floor, that vision, those were literally the words that I heard. About several months later, 5-6 months later, I'm back in graduate school and I'm writing my thesis. And one of the chapters of the thesis, it was sort of like a short story. And I was doing sort of fictionalized accounts of my ayahuasca experiences. I called it God's Bathroom Floor. And in class, someone goes, isn't that an atmosphere song? And it was like, Of course it is. And I had it on my iPod. I wasn't listening to it in Peru, but I had it. I actually had that song on my iPod with me on a playlist of maybe like 100 songs that I tailored for my, you know, like traveling or whatever. It was like a travel playlist that I made. And that was in that playlist, even though I didn't listen to it in Peru. But I still feel like in a weird way, that guy, Slug, I think is his name. Someone told me today, but that rapper and that song, for whatever reason, were part of like my shamanic GPS during that ceremony, which, you know, it's just really cool. And for anyone who understands that reference, just isn't that, it's a sweet song too. I actually re-listened to it this morning after someone commented on it. Anyway, okay, I'm getting off track here. So Jupiter in Scorpio, Jupiter and Neptune were trine when I had those experiences in the talk that I did yesterday. So Jupiter and Neptune, I'm back in graduate school. Jupiter and Neptune now move into a square configuration. And in the winter of 2006, as I was on the home stretch of writing my thesis, Garrison Keillor, I don't know if you guys know who he is, but Garrison Keillor came and he ended up, sorry, I'm going to try to look in the camera. He came to my graduate school program and he gave a talk, and all of the graduate students who were in the creative writing program got to have a private like class with him. And in that private class, it was basically just Q&A mostly. And I was writing a lot about ayahuasca, but I was also writing a lot about my Christian background and growing up in small town Minnesota, like kind of north of the Twin Cities and so forth. And he's from Minnesota. He was the voice of Prairie Home Companion radio show. So anyway, he was there. And to me, that was kind of cool because I grew up, you know, my parents listened to him all the time and he was on the radio a lot. He was a fixture in my life as a Minnesotan. Let's just say that growing up. So he is there and I asked him a question. I'm writing this book, Now Jupiter Square to Neptune. And I ask him the question, I say, do you have any advice for someone who's writing about growing up in small town Minnesota? And he said, well, sure. And then he did, rather than giving me advice, he told a story. And I love that about him. He's that type of person. And I like to think that I am too, that the best way to teach something or to understand something is to hope to find a story that actually represents the teaching, or more importantly, that the teachings aren't really much unless you can find a good story to tell it with. So he responds with a story and he says, you know, the mayor of the town that you grew up in long ago, he was a mayor like long time before. And I guess the owner of like a, he also was like the owner, I want to say, of like a local newspaper, something like that. Or maybe he was the owner of the newspaper and not the mayor. I don't remember, but he had some big position in the city and he like owned the newspaper or something like that. And his whole life, he was a devoted Republican. And by the way, to me, the political affiliation really has nothing to do with the moral of this story, just for the record. And apparently during his last year of life, or like last years or something, and I might be slightly messing this up, but this was the gist of it. Right before he died, he ended up voting for Al Gore. And this was, it must've been, I think, the 2000 election, if I'm remembering this correctly. And he voted for Al Gore because he loved nature and the earth and was convinced that the research into climate change, which Al Gore, of course, was like a big proponent of, was very real. And so, you know, he flipped his political association right before he died and voted for Al Gore. Didn't even get to live to see the debacle, I don't think. I think he died like very closely after the election or something. Anyway. So his point, he just told that story. And then he said this, he said, remember that everything changes. A small town in your memory may always be the same, but remember that even small towns are always changing. People are always changing and memories are always changing. And I thought that was just such a, there was probably nothing that was more sagely and important for me in trying to write it. Basically what that comment did for me was it gave me the sense of not trying to pigeonhole or be too narrow about my perceptions of like small town Minnesota that I had grown up in. And so I ended up writing small town Minnesota in a much more forgiving way and in a much more with an eye for just more of an eye for the light and shadow. And prior to that, it wasn't like I was trying to judge or be hard or like, you know, some that I had some negative view of small town life that I grew up with, but it gave it so much more dimensionality because of that. And to me, it wouldn't have mattered if he had said, you know, this person flipped from the Democrat to Republican. I don't really care. To me, the point of the story was that people and things change, even small towns. There's nothing static. So don't write it that way, even though, you know, emotionally you may have sort of static ideas or thoughts or perceptions. Don't stay static in how you perceive your childhood memories or places when writing about them and so forth. And it was just such a sagely piece of advice. So Jupiter squaring Neptune, when he gave me that advice while I was writing my book, which would eventually, through a second graduate program, go on to be the book that I would end up writing and having published. And by the way, I'll just put that up on the screen in case you're wondering. That's my book. It's called Fishers of Men, The Gospel of an Ayahuasca Vision Quest, published in 2010 by Tartar Penguin. So then I'm in an MFA program. And a little down the road, I'm continuing to work on the book. And again, I think that was probably one of the most sage-like, important, crucial pieces of advice that I got. And it was that confirmation that I needed to have someone that I respected and, you know, a well-known writer and creative wordsmith give me some advice from my neck of the woods about how to write and so forth. So it was this big confirmation for me. And I'd had no words for that kind of thing back then, but there's Jupiter square Neptune. And I had this encounter with a celebrity who somehow affirmed or confirmed what I was doing, and someone a sage sort of in the literary world that I respected at the time and so forth. So there's that sign, right? Really kept me going. I ended up writing the rest of the book in my MFA over the next 2 years. And then in April of 2009, April, May, all three of those months, my book, which I had continued developing through an MFA program, would end up getting an offer from Tartar Penguin to buy it and publish it. And that was a Jupiter-Neptune conjunction at that point. Now, that Jupiter-Neptune conjunction landed in my career house in Aquarius, but it was another major confirmation. I'd been writing this book for, 4 years, five by the time it was all the editing was done and so forth. But it was a long, slow process. And it was so interesting that two of the most affirming, important, to just keep going, trust what you're doing moments came during successive Jupiter-Neptune dynamics. This square between Jupiter and Neptune, Garrison Keillor visited my school, and I was on the home stretch of the first iteration of my book, and then eventually when the book was finally published. Now, when the book accepted for publication, or I received an offer or whatever. Okay, so then flash forward to the summer of 2010, the last time that Jupiter was in Pisces, by the way, and the last time that Jupiter trined my sun as it's doing right now. I was on a book tour. They sent me on a book tour across the United States. I was reading at Barnes & Noble, and I was on NPR, and I was on all sorts of radio shows and stuff like that. It was really cool. I was, starry-eyed with the whole thing. It was pretty, pretty amazing, especially since I was literally receiving unemployment 1 month before my book, launched. And I also started my full-time astrology practice that same summer. So I'm on book tour. And the last stop of my book tour, thereabouts, I think it was the last. It was either last or second to last. I was in San Francisco, and I had read at a store in Berkeley, and I think another one in San Fran, if I'm remembering right. And I'm in the airport, and I'm waiting to catch my flight back home. At the time, I lived in New York City, so I was ready to catch my flight back to New York City. So I'm on the flight, and I'm waiting out, and the people that I'm going to get on the plane to take to New York, there's people coming off from, so we have to wait till they deplane, they clean out the plane, and then we board. You guys get the picture. Who comes out that front door but Garrison Keillor? He comes walking right out looking like a strange duck. I don't know how else to put it, but he is a very tall, very odd looking person, like in real life. And I had that impression of him when he came to my school. And I had that impression of him then, but even more so then, because I was so struck by the appearance of this odd bird, So he's coming out the door, and first thing I noticed was I looked at his socks, and he had mismatched socks on because he was wearing, he had weird shoes too. They looked like they might as well have been bowling shoes, and mismatched socks, and like waiting for the flood, his pants were like way too short, and it's like you could see his socks and they were mismatched, and he had the odd bowling shoes on, and disheveled hair and big huge glasses, and he just looked like a wise crazy psychedelic owl coming straight at me. So I was like, oh my god, it's Garrison Keillor. Okay, so then this is where I turned into like a fanboy and acted like an idiot. But so I just wanted to go up to him and like tell him, like, I did what you told me to do, and I wrote a book, and oh my god, it was published, and you know, like, just wanted to flip out. I followed him into the bathroom. I followed him into the bathroom and I was like, wait a sec, I can't talk to him in the bathroom. So I like just went to the bathroom, and then he, you know, finished, and then like he washed his hands, and he was like, and I was just like kind of following behind him, like I wasn't stalking him into the bathroom. And then we both came out, and as we were coming out of the bathroom, I like let him take a few steps, and then I just tapped him on the shoulder and I said, Garrison. And he turned around and he was like, yes, like you can't make it up. He was literally like a crazy owl bird. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I know, I'm sure you're really busy. I have to tell you something incredible. And he was like, mm-hmm. And I was like, you came to my graduate program in, you know, the winter of 2006. I asked you for advice about how to write small town Minnesota. You gave me this really amazing advice that really stuck with me. And I got my book published, and I'm here because I'm on my book tour. And I just wouldn't have been able to do it without you. And it's just weird that I'm getting on the airplane that you're coming out of. And he goes, oh, like, just like, and he goes, what's the name of your book? And I go, it's called Fishers of Men, the Gospel of an Ayahuasca Vision Quest. And he goes, oh, ayahuasca. I've heard about that. I was like, that was literally, and I was like, okay. I was like, cool. Well, you know, if you ever read it, you know, I guess reach out and tell me what you think. And he was like, okay, well, good work. And then he just like kept going. And I'm telling you right now, that was, to me, that was one of the biggest signs ever. And it's so funny to me that I'm telling this story as Jupiter's coming back to trine my son. It was in the same place that it was then. So it's hitting that same Jupiter-Neptune conjunction degree. That magical story with Garrison Keillor that happened as Jupiter hit that degree in Pisces 12 years ago. Now, the point of this is not just to tell you a cool story, right? I mean, it is a fun story. Like, I love that story. I haven't shared it for a long time, so it's a fun one to recollect. But the reason I'm sharing it is because when I started going back and looking at Jupiter-Neptune aspects, I realized that all of this had happened, meeting Garrison Keillor, and then the book published under a Jupiter-Neptune square, and then a Jupiter-Neptune conjunction, and then Jupiter coming back to the exact degree that it's at now when, roughly the exact degree that it's at now, when I saw him at the end of my book tour. So crazy. And just a really, and that's what I mean, right? Sometimes you just get that feeling like I'm on a path. I mean, maybe it's not right to say I'm on the right path. It's just a path, and it's got heart. It's got soul. Thank you, Jesus. You know what I mean? Hallelujah. It's like, for real. So I want to ask the question today, because I believe really deeply that Jupiter and Neptune, as they're coming together, is probably preaching a little redemption into all of our souls. Like, is it not true? I have seen so many emails, so many DMs from people over the past week or two that have been like, Jupiter, Neptune is sending me some signs. It's a person. Is it a strange duck walking out an airport, you know, like walking in an airport like Garrison Keillor? Like, I don't care. It doesn't have to be some big, it could be a simple thing. It could be like, I found a shiny rock. That rocks the shit out of my daughter's world. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So is the universe speaking to you right now? I hope so. I hope it's affirming you. I hope it's giving you signs. I hope it's reminding you of the substance of your faith. I hope it's reminding you that hope is real. I hope it's reminding you that imagination is awesome. I hope it's reminding you to keep the love light alive, keep the good vibrations going. I hope it's reminding you of all the good reasons that we live life and struggle. I hope it's just giving you good things. But let's talk about why, like, okay, Jupiter and Neptune gives us signs, but why would the universe do so? 10 things. One, signs don't give away the ending. The thing about signs is that signs don't tell you what's going to happen completely, exhaustively, and neither do the signs of astrology. But where there's a sign, there's an intelligence, right? There's a sense, okay, I'm moving somewhere. And I can trust it because I know there's an intelligence behind it, but it's not giving anything away, which means something must want me to experience it. It's like, okay, so then I'm just going to go and experience it and trust because I've had a sign and it's told me there's something trustworthy about this, but I can't know it all. I can't see it all yet. And that's how it's supposed to be. Number two, because there is no ending. I mean, don't give away the ending is a turn of phrase, but there is no ending. Where there's a sign, there's just an affirmation, it turns out, that faith and love are being further developed, further cultivated. Yes, you can trust. Yes, this is good. Yes, love is real. Yes, faith and hope are real. Just without end. There's a sign. Okay, keep going. And you have this sense that it's just going to keep going on and on and on. But as you trust signs and they keep pulling us along, we also start to trust, I don't need for there to be some end. That's just my fear. That's just my insecurity. As signs pull us along, faith and love develop in place of anxiety about final outcomes or states or making the grade or something like that. Number three, hope and curiosity move the plot along. Interesting things happen because we pay attention to signs. Signs come and they give us hope and they give us curiosity, and that keeps stories moving and unfolding, and the soul loves it. The soul is here to say yes to experience and to find God and to find love in it. And so signs give us hope and they keep us curious, and that moves the plot along, and the soul is happy. Number four, look, redemption. We talked a lot about redemption yesterday. Redemption is really, at the end of the day, nothing more than the reminder, which we often receive through signs, that everything is part of the plan. Now, that phrase, God, do I loathe cliches, right? I'm just, because I'm a literary guy, I'm a writer, I consider myself something of an artist, not very good at of one, but you know, I like to be artistic, I like artistic people. You know, so I don't like cliches, but this is a good one. And all you have to do, you know, here's the thing about cliches. They're like good pop songs, right? They only get old if you play them too many times in a row. You know, cliches are like that too. It's not that they're bad inherently. It's that they get bad because you rely on them too much instead of finding the right times and places to use them and to trust them. It's like people who are always looking for a sign. Every single number that could possibly flash across the clock is a lucky number. Every bird is an omen. Every dream, there's nothing. A cigar can never just be a cigar. You know what I mean? And that's maybe a problem. But it's all part of the plan is not a cliche. It is a truth. And when signs come, they remind us of that. And I'm all about, let's bring that one back. Like, let's bring, it's all part of the plan. Let's make that sexy again. How can we do it? I've got an idea. Do you know what plan means etymologically? Plan, one of the things that plan means for the etymological roots of the word is to spread out, to spread something out. How about the root plan within the word planet? Planetes, in Greek, meant wandering, or like a wandering star. What is astrology? Astrology is to see the plan among the wanderers, among the planets. To see the plan among the wanderers, to spread it out, to map it out, to have some sense that there is a map for wanderers. Now, it's fun to wander, you know, like I'm not saying there's anything wrong with wandering. To when you receive a sign, it's as though in your wandering, somehow you've reached a wayside inn and you're coming into a room filled with candles and there's no ceiling, just the stars above you. And you spread things out on a table and you go, yeah, there's an intelligence, there's a plan. How's that? It's all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan, man. To spread things out. Planets, wanderers, astrology, to see the plan in the wandering. That's what signs are. That's why we love astrology. Get a little bit addicting. You know, you can be a little bit like, what's the sign today? You know, like I'm jonesing for another sign. And some that's a little crazy sometimes, you know, but it's good to be wander. If you're someone who likes to wander, you're probably someone who also likes signs. They go together somehow. They always have. 5, why would the universe want to speak in signs? Because it's trying to teach us a different language and a different form of intelligence. We have ours. We have our sense of what's best and how to navigate. But it's like, hey, there are higher languages and there are higher forms of intelligence that are not purely rooted in fear, desire for temporary things that don't satisfy. What does your heart want? What does your soul say that feels good? Like, what is your soul's definition of what feels good? What does your heart want out of life? We don't necessarily have a language for that. And something about signs, signs often speak in images, and images capture the heart, soul, spirit, imagination. And we just go, yeah, that. I've been wandering around and I've been looking for something that feels real. So it's a different language. A language that speaks in images and signs conveys something to the soul. And then you have a different kind of intelligence by means of which to make decisions and to move along through life. 6, remembrance is at the core of spiritual growth, and signs help us remember. Remember the signs, Aslan said to Jill in the Silver Chair, my favorite of the Narnia Chronicles. You're going to go down into Narnia where the air is denser in the sublunary sphere. And I'm going to give you a set of instructions. They will be all about signs to watch for that will help you reach your destination, that will guide you through the perils of that world. But you have to repeat them to yourself so you don't forget them. So that when you see them, you will know there's one of the signs. When signs come up, they help us to remember, I am a spiritual being having a spiritual experience. I'm in a body, you know, but eventually the body goes away. The journey continues. There are dim lights, starlight, candlelight. I'm moving through soulful nocturnal spaces. The only way I get through here is to remember, to be a child of remembrance. I have to take some kind of lunar, you know, some lunar sensibility that I have to carry with me to reflect upon experience. I will see signs and they will help me to remember. And we grow spiritually, meaning we move along a spiritual path, what is a spiritual timeline different than a life timeline, because when we see signs, they help us to remember. Signs, 7, also keep us present and alert. That's one of the most amazing things about signs, is that when a sign comes up, there's a way that a sign has of all of a sudden heightening your senses. Where the hell have I been? I've been asleep. But suddenly there's a praying mantis on my door handle. And I was just talking about praying mantises the other day to my friend Bobby, you know, and now there's some message. Even if there's not a message, there's just a sense. Something's listening. Something's speaking. There's a playfulness here. I'm heightened senses. I'm back to the present. I'm alert. We make good decisions usually from those spaces, those alert, curious, I see signs kind of spaces. 8, signs make the mundane, and the mundane makes signs. See, the thing is that we live in a world that is mundane. Every day we do things that are often very repetitive and not like particularly joyful, or like, I don't know, like buying food or paying bills or sleeping, or I mean, sleeping can be eventful, but clipping your toenails or something. There's lots of that kind of stuff here. Lots of it, a lot more than we think there is. Because, you know, between social media posts, we're probably, you know, picking our underwear out of our butt or something. So it's just, there's just a lot. There's a very strong, like, mundane reality that we just live in every day. And the mundane needs the contrast. Nothing in this, everything in this world is moving through these dualities. So signs come out of the mundane. The mundane makes signs. But also signs give us some sense that walking through the mundane elements of life is part of it. They confer blessings and affirmation upon one another, the mundane and the world of numinous signs. They are like dancing together. And I don't think it's that, you know, one of the things that I don't like about the addiction to looking for signs and omens is that there seems to be behind that some stubborn resistance to also allowing mundane things to exist. And it's like, well, you can't have a meaningful sign unless you're also giving some space for your mundane existence and not always looking for 1111, if you get what I'm saying. Number nine, why does the universe speak in signs? Because they're beautiful. Does there need to be any other reason than that? They're just beautiful. Holy cow. You know, holy cow. They're just so beautiful. So the universe speaks in signs because they're aesthetically pleasing, and the universe is not only about truth and learning and teaching, it's also just purely about beauty. Number 10, because signs help us see the world and hence each other as ensouled. How much harder is it to objectify nature, to objectify animals, to objectify each other, to look at each other as mere players in my story, when a bird can be a bird but also a sign? You know, when a person entering your life can be a message to your soul, it's harder to then not recognize the soul in that person. So signs help us see the world, the cosmos, each other, creation itself as ensouled. We start to feel like I'm an ensouled being on a path of some kind. It's trustworthy. It's good. I can feel that. And when you are in touch with that feeling, nothing, you know, nobody and nothing in your environment couldn't possibly be a God visiting you. And that fills you with this like sense of, you know, just respect. You're treading on sacred ground. You know, it's like you start taking your metaphorical sandals off a little bit more because you're near a burning bush, and every person, every child, every rock. And I don't feel that way all the time, but I have felt that way. And I do time and time again, when the signs and omens speak and affirm something about life, about each other. So that is what I have for you all today. If you have stories about Jupiter, Neptune that you'd like to share, please use the hashtag grabbed or email them to us, grabbed@nightlightastrology.com. We'd love to hear what you guys are experiencing or what affirming signs or omens the universe is dropping for you. We'd love to hear that. If you like my channel, if you like this content, I appreciate that you actually give it the little thumbs up, subscribe, share your comments. And if you do subscribe, click on the notification bell to receive updates when I go live, which I will be doing next week. Transcripts of my talks every day can also be found on my website at nightlightastrology.com in case you want to read the printout. Really appreciate you guys. And we will be seeing you again on Monday. All right. Take it easy, everyone.